Okay. Good morning. As I was saying when I previously preached here about 2 minutes ago, for the last, 15, 16, 18 months, I've been going through a process because I've applied for status to become a minister in Assemblies of God. So Mark's already got his certificate on the wall. If you go in his office, you'll see it there. But there's a process you have to go through. And one of the processes, they actually, Assemblies of God, of which we belong to, has a sort of basic set of beliefs. They used to call them, I think they've changed, they used to call them fundamental truths. I don't know if they still are. 12. One of the things you have to do when you apply to become a minister, you've got to write a little essay on each of these fundamental truths. It's that long since I've even remembered what they were or what I believed. It was quite an experience. Can you put that PowerPoint up for me, Cain, please? We believe in salvation through faith in Christ, who according to the scriptures died for our sins, was buried, and was raised from the dead on the third day, and that through his blood we have redemption. This is one of the fundamentals of Assemblies of God. No, I've put in bold there, was raised from the dead on the third day. And I was thinking about, remembering this experience, writing stuff on this, thinking about, why is it important to believe in the resurrection? Would it make any difference? Does it matter? Why is it important to us? And I remembered, I've told you before, but I'll repeat myself, in my days when I was studying theology, I was at an Anglican college, we had a visit from the guy who at that time was the Bishop of Durham, David Jenkins. Some of you will famously remember. His phrase that got him into trouble was, about the resurrection, a conjuring trick with bones, is how he described the resurrection. And it was sort of a big hoo-ha at the time. A bishop in the Church of England didn't believe in a literal resurrection. And I thought, well, he can hold the position as a bishop and not believe it. Does it make any difference to us? Why should we believe it? What difference does it make? Because it's important we understand what we believe rather than just, well, everyone tells us we should believe it. Let's get in there. This is what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Cain, please. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Paul telling the church at Corinth, in a sense, this is what we commonly believe. These things are our beliefs. That was passed down, if you like, from church to church. If you can remember anything about the apostles, when Judas betrayed Jesus and when he went and hung himself, according to the book of Acts, they had to choose another apostle. Do you remember this? And one of the qualifications for being an apostle was it had to be somebody who had witnessed the resurrection. That was one of the qualifications. So my first point really, why is it important? Well, there was a movement some time ago, I think there still is a movement really, lots of churches who wanted to, quote, get back to being like the early church. We want to be like the early church, like the church of the first apostles. Well, the first thing I want to say to you, it's important to believe in the resurrection because the early church believed in it. If you want to be like the early church, you're going to have to believe in the resurrection. Paul says, I passed on to you what was of first importance. This is what we believe. In fact, he uses the term, doesn't he? If you believe another gospel. He's no longer with us, David Jenkins, so don't particularly want to speak ill, but I won't fall out with him in the sense that I probably believe something different to what he believed. I believe in a literal resurrection. That makes me odd, so be it. But it seems that's what the Bible teaches. Paul talks about a different gospel. If we hold a different view, we cannot claim to follow what they taught. We can't claim to be like the early church if we hold a different view. Is that reasonable? That seems to be what he's saying. Now, three things Paul says here, past, present, and future. Probably don't get it in the English translation. I won't get into the Greek. Where's Wendy? She'd be pleased about that. She said, you'll be pleased. My wife will be pleased. She doesn't have to sign any Greek language. Well, do love, that's an easy one, no. Paul says, you received. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached you, which you received, past tense. It's past, we've received it. On which you now stand, present. By which you are, literally in the Greek, being saved, future tense. Past, present, and future. Our salvation is pinned to the resurrection. Past, present, and future. I put down in my notes here, and Sue said, how do I sign that? We don't recite the creed here. Though we probably sing it quite a bit. I was thinking almost of asking you to sing one, but we'll look at that later, Ray. There's a song by Hillsongs that actually sings about the resurrection. If we did, we'd probably say it in the words of the Book of Common Prayer, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That's what we believe. That's what the early church believed. So it's important to believe in the resurrection because that's what the early church believed. In fact, as I go on, there's lots of things that make it crucial we believe in the resurrection. Lots of things. So there are some things really in the Bible. There's lots of different opinions, aren't there? When I was teaching for a while at Clarendon, teaching A-level religious studies, and often when I was in the staff room, some of the other guys used to ask me, do you believe that stuff you teach? Quite an interesting question. People who are teaching law, people who are teaching English, people teaching business and economics. And I sort of said, yeah, and they said, you know, it's a bit weird, you know. We believe this, that, or the other. And I'm like, well, that's what I believe. These are my basic beliefs. And actually, what we believe impacts what we do, doesn't it? If we don't believe in the resurrection, maybe we could twist it and say we believe in it in a different way. Well, maybe it wasn't a physical resurrection. Maybe it's a spiritual one. I think I covered last year, covered about the reasons, but I won't go into that. So first of all, it's important to believe it because the early church believed it. Second, it's important to believe it because it underlines the claims of Jesus. I haven't got time to do this one, but I'll just drop you a seed here. It's one of my particular favourite ones. People often have a go about the Bible saying, you can't believe that, it's full of contradictions. And some of the stories in it are quite odd, aren't they? I mean, Adam and Eve, Noah, Jonah and the whale. Can't believe any of that, can you? Interestingly enough, Jesus talks about all of those. So if you want to dismiss them, or maybe you ought to dismiss the words of Jesus. See, one of the things Jesus said, quite crucial really, said, you lot, you're always looking for signs in the sky, aren't you? Working out what you can tell, whether weather's going to be good or bad. But I'm not going to give you a sign except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the ground. That's the sign he gave them. A bit ridiculous considering Jonah didn't exist. I'm tongue-in-cheek saying that because Jesus used it as a point to prove about his resurrection. The sign of Jonah. Fancy, he should have picked something else, shouldn't he, really? I haven't got time, but we could go. He talks about marriage. He talks about Adam and Eve. He talks about Noah and the flood. Silly man, all that stuff that we know isn't real. Jesus talks about all of it. Quite interesting. Romans 1, 3-4. Regarding his son, who as to his early life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. He had to be resurrected to prove his claims that he was the Son of God. He was who he said he was. Not only that, he actually foretold his death and his resurrection. Bit silly if it's not going to happen. There are prophecies in the Old Testament about it as well, but I haven't got time to get into that. This probably, these next verses I'll share, I'm sure you've read them, probably some of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in my opinion. John 10, 17-18. This is Jesus speaking. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Whatever you think historically about Was it the Jews? Was it the Romans who put him to death? Jesus understood what his purpose was, and he was the one who gave himself. That's really the meaning of that. He gave himself to death in order that we might be justified. I put in my notes here, to put it bluntly, if he didn't rise from the dead, he's not who he claimed to be. Perhaps he's just the good man people talk about. Perhaps he's just the prophet. But we think more than that, and the Bible actually states differently. Actually, Jesus was raised from the dead to actually present himself before God. And because of that, we are set free. Ray was getting excited this morning. I've told him off about that a few times when he sings. I am free because of what he's done. We're free. If he didn't present himself, he's still there in the tomb and it hasn't happened. It makes his words and his example meaningless if he didn't rise from the dead. Makes what he says false. It's important because it underlines the claims of Jesus. You cannot read the New Testament without it saying somewhere about him actually being exalted and sat at the right hand of God. All power and all authority is given to him, it says, because he overcame death. Most of the songs this morning, Ray's very good, often has a theme through his, talked about that idea of defeating death, didn't it? Jesus defeated death. Sing some great songs about it. With me so far, why is it important? Early church believed it. It underlines the claims of Jesus. Thirdly, it's important because it plays a part in our salvation. Did you know that? Yeah, Mark says that's good. 1 Peter 3:20-22. Here's another naughty man, Peter, mentioning Noah. In the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hold on to your seats. If Jesus isn't risen, you're not saved. You can believe all you want, but actually, if the resurrection didn't happen, there's no hope for us. That's what it says. Romans 10:9, I always found this scripture a difficult one. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a connection. You speak with your mouth, you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. It's connected to our salvation. I put in my notes here, when I first became a Christian, about 2 years ago, about 40 odd years ago, I got a lift home from the guy here who used to lead the youth service called Ian Watson. He was here a couple of weeks ago. Took me home to, I lived in Openshaw at that time, took me home in his car, and I sat in the passenger seat in his car, and he said to me, what do you think about what you've heard? I've been coming here a few weeks. I said, well, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's good. What am I supposed to do about it? No idea. So I prayed what many would call at that time the sinner's prayer, you know, the usual thing. God, if you're out there, hello, I'm here. I want you to come into my life. At that point, I don't think I understood about the resurrection, but I'm pretty certain on that night I became a Christian. God came into my life. And as I progressed, I began to understand how important the resurrection was. You don't need to understand everything at the time, but as we go on, we need to understand it's important for our salvation that the resurrection is part of what we believe. It actually endorses what he's done. In a sense, his death is only half the story. If we stop there, we'd be forever singing songs about still being in the grave. I was going to say, Kay sat there, it's important because we get Easter eggs, isn't it, Kay? Not particularly, no. But we sing, the stone was rolled away. He's not there anymore. Seek the living amongst the dead. It's important It plays a part in our salvation. I'll carry on. Here's another interesting scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:14. Oh, this is fun, isn't it, eh?
Can you start again?
Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Oh. It's important because our preaching is useless, and so is our faith without the resurrection. In fact, if you like, in a sense, what do we put our faith in? We put our faith in what the Bible says and what Jesus said and what he did. What he said and what he did. His sayings and his actions. According to what I read and what the scripture says, he was in the tomb and then he was resurrected. Mark was saying, I think last week, about the idea of 40 days. 40 days from the tomb to going into heaven, Acts 1:11. Jesus went into heaven, 40 days. Paul puts that list together. He was seen by 12, he was seen by Peter, seen by 500. I think I said last year, I covered the dates thing. Won't do it again, but probably the earliest gospel we have, probably Mark, the writing of which can probably be put 50 to 60 years after the event, manuscripts we have, quite close to the time. Some people would still be alive to challenge that idea the resurrection didn't happen. Better than any of your historical books, probably about 300 years is the closest. So our preaching without the resurrection, actually, no use. Lots of other things we can preach about. This is my favourite. It's my last one, number 5. Why is the resurrection important? It is important because if it didn't happen, we are still in our sins. So hands up this morning, how many want to remain in the sins? It's that bit that the preacher says, I don't see many hands. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. What's the point of the resurrection? The point of the resurrection is he made atonement, paid the price for you and I, presented himself before God and said, I've done it. It's finished, it's paid. How much you know about it? There's some very funny words in the Bible, isn't there? There's a big long word called propitiation. Any of you heard of that one? Do you want to translate that one, Linda, for me? She's signing and being a naughty there. The turning away of wrath by the offering of a gift is what it literally means. Christ actually had to pay a legal bill. Sin came with an account to be paid. You've sinned, somebody's got to pay. The hymn writer used to put it this way, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only Jesus. But it was a legal transaction, actually. We committed sin and it needed paying for. God's just, and he, in a sense, said, I demand payment. Who's going to pay? You know, Revelation has that picture. They look round, they can work out who's going to pay, and it's the Lamb on the throne. The good news this morning, he rose from the grave, presented himself before the Father, and this was accepted as payment for our sins. Because he is risen, our sins are paid for. Remember what Paul said about our salvation, past, present, future. Can I say to you all this morning, it's one of the things I always major on, my sins, which were many, have all been forgiven, past, present, and future. Now, I know you all realise that it won't happen because I don't sin. I know you know that. We all sin. But actually, even if for the next 30, 40 years, however long you live, you carry on sinning, that's been paid for. Not that you should. Paul says, should we continue sinning, that grace may abound? God forbid. No. But it's been paid for. past, present and future. Because of the resurrection, our sins have been forgiven. That should be enough to get us excited. But you were getting excited yesterday, Dave, weren't you, when Foden scored, eh? He needs help. He's a blue. He can't help it. I'll pray for him later. The old hymn writer put it like this. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. I'm quoting that from memory. I hope that's about right. Up from the grave he arose. We're singing this morning, all the songs are about the resurrection. Maybe I ought to say to Ray, don't sing them because, well, we've got to sing them because it's true. We need to get excited. I'll just go through what I've shared. I don't know if the tape's in bits and pieces, but never mind. Why is it important to believe in the resurrection? It's important because it's what the early church believed. We want to be like them. We need to believe what they believed. Secondly, it's important because it validates the claims of Jesus. He is who he said he is, and he can do what he said he can do. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Thirdly, it's important because it's part of our salvation. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Four, it's important because otherwise our preaching and our faith are useless. But they're not, because it's true. And fifthly, it's important because our sins are forgiven because of the resurrection. Jesus has paid the price. Sorry for all the hits and misses with the sound, but thank you for listening.